Well, Gary and I have been close friends throughout the time that he's been married to my sister. I would count him as one of my closest and dearest friends. I enjoy my time to be around him. I enjoy his passion for the ministry. I enjoy when he's able to stand in front of us, not only because I enjoy his message, but I'm always looking forward to when he says something funny. And now that he's pastor, we get some more opportunities with him to handle business meetings, to get more of that stuff. That's awesome. But I know that that he's considering the message to bring. I've already seen a little bit of it, just peeking at his thing here. I'm encouraged and I'm hopeful that I'll be able to receive what the Lord wants for me to receive today. And so I'd ask that you would offer up a prayer, that you would have your heart open to hear what the Lord has put on Gary's heart, and that you would give him your attention. And so I will give you here our brother and our pastor, Gary Jacobson.
I should thank you for that. No, I do enjoy the camaraderie I have with my brother in the gospel and my brother-in-law. It's fun. It is really funny. He had to remind me that at this last business meeting, I had made a comment for, I think it was a motion, and if anybody had seconded that emotion. So I guess that's just, you know, kind of the fun things in life. And I'm hoping this works. I'm thinking it's, you guys should see just one blue tile up there. And it's going to be, is it up? Okay, here we go. I'm going to see if that works. All right, awesome. Yeah, a little bit of a technical issue with my technology. It's old. And I was having a hard time last night finding an adapter for this iPad, which I don't even know how many years old this is. This thing is ancient, but it works great. Not that I'm trying to promote Apple or nothing, but Best Buy kind of laughed at me last night because I don't have a lightning plug anymore. It's the old plug-in. I don't even know what you call it anymore, but Brother Stephen was very kind enough to be able to bring that over for me, and I'm very thankful for that. But again, welcome all those that are live streaming. I'm thankful to be here this day. I'm thankful for the things that the Lord has in store for me this year. I am anxious to see that. And I know that the last time I preached, I had made a mention that I wasn't going to speak towards anything in regards to my hunting trip, but I probably will at this time today during this sermon because, you know, I felt that this sermon really came to me pretty easy. I actually took a sermon from about 3 years ago and that I put on as a presentation, changed it all up. It's probably 75% different. Just used a couple of scriptures that I had from the last time. But it's kind of easy now that I kind of learned how to do things to take an old PowerPoint, copy it, and utilize that as your template to change it and to put in the message that you want to populate it with. So, as I said, I'll probably start off with a little story about hunting in our last hunting trip because that's one of the things I was thinking about, and it's going to go along with the sermon as far as the title of my sermon is to focus on Christ. And I really thought to myself and been praying about it, and I know I've mentioned to each and every one of you that the year to come, that's my goal, is to stay completely focused on Christ. And, you know, I don't know what the forecast of my future is as far as what the Lord has in store for me, or I'm sure many of you think about that as well. But I look at day by day, you know, the things that I can do, how I can serve, what the Lord puts on my heart to be able to share, how to communicate, how to become more effective in the body of Christ. And I know this is a very important position. I know that there's a lot of responsibilities that go along with it. And I'm going to definitely stay focused on that. And hopefully there will be fruits of that labor. And you guys will be able to share in some of the experiences as well. And that I will be able to lift you up throughout the year and to help guide you and myself, for that matter, through the guidance of the Lord. And I think that's what all the ministry's responsibility is. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And the hardest part about that is staying focused and doing so, because a lot of things in life could take us in the wrong direction and lead us down the wrong path. But so going back to the hunting trip, it was really funny. It was definitely a blessing. You know, we were going out for elk, my family. Brother Adam was there helping us out as well. And, you know, three kids hunting, including Caleb and his family as well, the Farriers. And a lot of the Yates family was all there and supportive of us. And, you know, basically the animals don't come to you. You got to go to the animals, and you got to be careful in doing so. And so, you know, the weather conditions were all over the place. There was a lot of things that we were dealing with. But, you know, the key was to stay focused on what we're doing, and eventually things will come around and happen. And so it was probably, oh boy, it was the Thursday night, I believe, coming towards the end of the hunting trip. We, you know, had a few opportunities, but never really got to anything. And, you know, the kids were starting to get a little bit frustrated. And as a parent and as an uncle and a great uncle, you know, one of the things we really wanted to do was to give them a good opportunity to be able to have the experiences in which we've had in the past. And, you know, part of that is taking an animal and being successful in doing so. And, you know, we were out one evening, and we had come across some tracks. We had to hop a barbed wire fence. We followed after where the tracks went down into a canyon. And so Adam and Logan, they went in one direction. Eric and I headed in the south direction. Adam and Logan went in the north direction. And Joel and Brooke were kind of following us along this ridge line, and we're just kind of glassing over the canyons and, you know, with the binoculars. And it was really funny because now I laugh at it, but we came up to a spot, and it just looked like a really good point to get out the binoculars and to start checking things out. And in doing so, you know, but I, you know, I'm just sitting there and I'm focused on this bear, and I'm radioing to Joel, hey Joel, come over here, hey, come over here, there's this bear. And I know he doesn't have a rifle. Brooke had my rifle, and so you know, he didn't hear me. He didn't have his radio on, and they just kind of come strolling up, and I can hear him off coming through the bushes. And I just start, you know, hey, you know, this bear is, I'm talking on the radio, and the bear is just kind of doing its own thing over here by a stump, just kind of nuzzling around and sniffing at the ground and stuff. And sure enough, he comes out of the bushes, and I'm like, hey, Joel, couldn't you hear me? I'm sitting here trying to radio that there's a bear right here. So he gets all excited, and he grabs Brooke's rifle, and he comes over, and he's like on this bear. And then he's just like, hey, hey. And I'm like, what, what? And he's like, there's five elk right there. And I'm like, ah! So I like really was like, and he's all excited, and I'm all excited. And we get the kids all set up. And, you know, he had a very difficult decision at that time because, you know, He could have won, taken the bear down, and the elk would have ran off, but as charitable as he is, he got the kids going, I got Eric going, and those elk were just standing there looking at us like, what are these goofballs doing? And unfortunately for us, things worked out very well with that, and very well. And I was really thankful for it, you know. And Joel had said he had a tough time. He had to make a decision, you know, is it me or is it them? And he chose them. And I was really thankful for that. And it was another blessing that was in disguise that showed itself because once the shots rang out, the bear had two cubs. And by law, you cannot take a bear with cubs. So it was a blessing in itself. But anyways, I know that not everybody's a hunter, but it was a very, very neat experience. And that's where I was kind of thinking about, you know, my focus and where it's at. And I wanted to start off with a scripture. There it goes. Oh, it's going to skip. See, now I got to figure out how to go back. I'm not good at this. Let me try this again. There we go. Okay, let me play it from there. There we go. Okay, it says, but it is as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, and this is the scripture I wanted to start off with because, again, at our business meeting, I had made that comment that, you know, no way, shape, form, or fashion would I have known that, you know, far off in my life, even with any kind of capability of seeing things, would I know that I'd be standing in the position that I am at now. But, you know, God loves each and every one of us. God has a desire for each and every one of us to continue to move forward on that straight and narrow path in life. And we know that that path could be difficult at times. It could be hard and challenging and discouraging at times, but, you know, in all actuality is when our hearts are in the right place that the Lord is going to take us to a good place. He's going to reward us and bless us with good things. And I really think about this opportunity to serve as your pastor, and I know without a doubt that the Lord has a plan and a reason for this step in my life. And just like anybody, you know, when they take the first step into the doors for the first time, the Lord has a plan for those people as well, to touch the hearts of everyone that decides to take that step in the right direction. I think it's such a good thing and a blessing when we have that opportunity to be able to draw ourselves closer to God, to be able to be focused on that which the Lord has in store for us, to be able to be focused on His Word. We know there's a lot of crazy things going on in society today, but when we focus on His Word, you know, are we prepared for it? Are we prepared to take upon us the challenges, the change in our lives that happens? And I always tell my kids that, you know, the Lord has changed me immensely in all the days and years that I have been on this earth, and never once can I say and deny that it wasn't for the better. You know, I have to put down my own pride, my own ego a lot of times to understand those things that are so much more beneficial for me when I am selfless rather than selfish. It's a very important thing, I think, in our spiritual walk. And to be able to come to those terms and understand that, you know, even in the changes that we do have, some of the positions that just in our election of officers this morning and the last triennial business meeting, there are changes that happen. Are we prepared for them? Are we prepared to take the steps in the right direction, or are we going to walk away from them and not focus on that path? Okay, so with that, yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, look not unto things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I look at those things and see that, you know, when I look at the big picture, when I look at the time that each and every one of us has, you know, how many things are in effect around us at any given time that are directing us because of the hand of God. How many things are happening on a minute-to-minute basis, an hourly basis, a day-to-day basis that really change our thought process, that make us think about, is this something that the Lord is putting upon my heart? Is this something that He's just trying to tell me in a subtle way that, hey, I need to do this, or I need to change that, or I need to step up and I need to take this upon me because, you know, the Lord is letting me know that He has expectations. We all have expectations that are needing to be met by ourselves for the Lord. And so I look at those things and, you know, there's so much value in our spiritual walk that society or the temporal things in life can't provide us. You know, I speak about this all the time, the joys and the peace that we have. There's one for you, Adam, the pieces. The peace that we have because we are serving the Lord. You know, it comes hand in hand. There's a lot of spiritual battles that each and every one of us have within ourselves. You know, a lot of the ways I look at it is that Satan likes to play mind games with us. You know, these are some of the things. He'll create delusions. He'll create us to have stress that doesn't really need to be there. He'll create situations that don't really exist and that can be very difficult, you know, for us to be able to stay focused on the path because He's doing these things. And, you know, when we really slow down and look at it, and think about those things that we have in our path, you know, who's doing what? Am I in control of it? Am I letting the Lord lead it? You know, are those the things that are going to keep us focused on not tripping over or stumbling or falling behind or falling astray? Those are the things that we need to focus on, those spiritual things in our life. And so it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And I did a little bit of study on this as well. You know, and this is saying, you know, stay focused on God. Look at those things that Christ did. Follow after those things. If we have our eyes wandering all over the place and trying to, you know, look out there and see what there is, you know, the path that we're taking, we could be led off of that path. We can, you know, fall into temptation. We could fall into discouragement. We could be taken by something that will be detrimental for our spiritual welfare. And so again, you know, let our eye be single and the whole body shall be full of light. Let Christ, let God be that light in your life. And so I wanted to I kind of wanted the picture here, but we got a couple pictures to show, but I'll read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. As should be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Okay? And I wanted to show this, and it better be the picture. It is the picture. A few years back, this was in 2013, this gentleman, Nick Walenda, he did the Grand Canyon tightrope walk. I'm sure a lot of you remember that. It was on the news. It was all over the place. And I'm not trying to promote this guy and, you know, tempting fate or anything like that, but I found it interesting because, you know, he was all wired up, and I don't think he could have actually fell in the Grand Canyon, but I was looking at some of these pictures because, you know, this gentleman's focus, you could see there in the picture right down the middle pretty much, there's the wire that he walked on right there. And, you know, he had a goal in mind. And as you can see, it was to get to the other side. He wanted to be one of the first people to do that. He was successful in it. It was big and exciting for everybody. But I think about this gentleman when he's up here, you know, it's kind of interesting to know that, you know, he had to have all of his focus, every last bit of it, you know, on where he was taking each and every step as he was walking across this wire. You know, in nature, there's wind and all kinds of elements, the sun, reflections, changes in temperature can have a dramatic effect on the wire, condensation on the wire, all these variables in life that can be happening in that moment, and he has to stay focused because one of those things could cause him to lose his balance and to fall. And very interesting how this gentleman was so focused that, you know, he had his mind set on accomplishing this task, and he performed it and did it. And, you know, we can stay focused in that manner. You know, it's not a tightrope that we're walking on every day in life, but we can really stay focused on the path in which we're taking, where it's leading us. You know, our vision of the days to come, those things to be, you know, we can look and we can pray about those things, you know. The Lord gives us that foresight to know, you know, what needs to be done. We've heard testimonies about that, about our brothers in the field, you know, and coming into dangerous situations, and the Lord told them, you know, you need to leave now. You need to do this, and has protected his people. The same with our path in life, you know. A lot of times we just have so many distractions going on, and we know that Satan's there to tempt us so many different ways, or to cause us to think that, you know, things are doom and gloom. You know, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you're going to step foot outside and everything's just going to fall around you. Everything's going to collapse. Your day's going to be horrible. You know, those things that he does and our mental struggles that we have, a lot of that, I believe, is because of Satan placing doubt, confusion, anxiety within us at times. You know, and part of that is going out and fighting the battle, you know, looking at those things and taking that one step at a time and knowing that the Lord is by your side, figuratively, spiritually, and I don't even know, and that sometimes his hand is leading us and we can be completely unaware of that, and he can be opening up a door or a path that was once dangerous that would now be protected. So, you know, I talk about that, you know, the things that Satan can do in our lives and how he could do them. I touched the iPad. It didn't go. I'm going to touch it again. There it is. Okay. And so, you know, step outside the foot of your door. And in the front, you take a couple feet out. And, you know, is this kind of what we have going on inside of us sometimes? Is, you know, the day is going to be brutal. You know, it's just doom and gloom. And I look at this, and a lot of times, you know, Satan puts these thoughts in our head. This is actually a 3D chalk drawing that somebody did on a city street. I thought it was really pretty interesting. And the things that people can do are amazing at times. But at the same time, I'm sure that the things that Satan can do are kind of along the same lines. You know, he can really trip us up and make us think that something that's there isn't actually there. You know, he could cause us to believe things that, you know, really are a lot worse than what they seem. And I think about that, and, you know, I do struggle from time to time when I get up. I deal with a lot of things in my work environment that are very stressful. And I tell myself, you know, hey, after I say my prayers, you know, let's go fight the battle. Let's get out there. Let's do it. Let's see what the world has in store for us today. But in all things, knowing that the Lord is there to give us the strength when we are weak is so important. And then when we come into situations like this, you know, we can go out the door and actually walk down the street and not be harmed in one least little bit. No shape, form, or fashion is any harm going to come from you if you walk down the street. Well, unless a car drives by and hits you, but we know that, you know, we don't just walk down the middle of the streets. But regardless, you know, Satan puts these things, these stumbling blocks in our way to see if he can trip us up, to see if he can take us down, to see if he could put doubt in our mind, to see if he can cloud our vision, our path, to help us be able to fall, to help us be able to not be successful. Those are the things that we need to be aware of. And so, come on. Here we go. So some of the things that I wanted to talk about are things to expect in 2019. The years go by quick, don't they? You know, one of the first things that your new pastor could probably expect is there's going to be some change ahead. You know, our brother Andy so graciously served for 3 years. And you know, did I in the least bit think that there was going to be change in my future? Yeah, did I think that I was going to be serving as the pastor? No, not really. But I really am excited about it in a way that really it kind of was brought to me in a way that I would be ashamed of myself if I didn't accept the responsibility of what was asked for in this position that I am in. These were some of the personal thoughts I had within myself that I'm sharing with you. You know, it's definitely interesting to see what life has in store for each and every one of us and where the Lord takes us. I would like each and every one of you to take advantage of that, full advantage of that, which the Lord does open up as an opportunity for you. One of the things that our pastor from the previous had wanted me to do was, in my role, was to get out into visit the isolated members in Golden Valley and Kathy and Jerry up in Sholo throughout the year. He wanted me to get out more often, and I did so. And there was a lot of blessings that came along with that. Good experiences, good opportunities, and I was willing to serve that to the most capability that I had. And, you know, the direction in which the Lord wanted me to go has changed. So, again, you know, that's what I want to do, is to make sure that I can fulfill that to the best of my capability for the Lord. And it says in 2nd book of Nephi, chapter 11, verse 145, "For behold, I am God, and I am a God of miracles, and I will show unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith." And that's one of the things. We have to put faith in the Lord that He is going to do that which is right for us. He is going to be able to know where we need to go. He's our compass. He's our guide. He's our leader. He's our Father, which is most important. He's not going to take His children anywhere where they shouldn't go, or where He does not need them to go. And that's the thing, is that, you know, my life changes day to day. You know, my kids grow. I grow older. I get gray hair. My wife laughs at the hair starting to grow out of my ears. And, you know, I'm going to change. I am going to continuously change. But in knowing that the Lord does not change is so reassuring, because we know that we can always count on Him. We can rely on Him. He's always going to be there in our lives each and every day, every minute, through any struggle, as long as we do our part, as long as we make the changes in our heart to be able to let Him in, to let Him guide, to let Him direct us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, Paul says to Timothy, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And that's one of the things I know that in this position, having a sound mind is something that is very important. And I know this position has great responsibilities in it. And I was fearful of that. I was fearful of, you know, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to have the strength to do this, to carry this? I'm not going to say it's a burden, just to carry this responsibility, this weight. That's what this position comes with. I don't know. You know, it takes, I think, a very strong person in certain ways. And maybe that's why the Lord called me to do this. You know, everything that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, I talked about what transpired here in the last couple weeks, last week with some of my friends. And, you know, they said that, you know, with the things that you deal with, it's wasn't unexpected. It's something that they can see that, you know, it kind of fits the bill. You know, I deal with a lot of things at work, a lot of different characters and characteristics of people, but in a lot of different personalities. But, in all, you know, even at my place of business, really there to serve, there to be humble, and most importantly, there to be an example for God and His Son. So I think about that, and I think about the power that the Lord can give you, and it's in, you know, it's fully achievable for anything that you're tasked with, as long as your mind is focused on that and focused on God. Whatever the responsibility is, He's going to give you the capability to accomplish that. And it's kind of neat because a lot of the first things that were said to me when I was elected pastor that night was, don't worry, I will be here for you. I will help you out. I know it's going to be difficult. I got that from Brother Andy, Brother Gordon, my assistant pastors. You know, we're here to support you, Brother Dwayne. A lot of people came up to me and supported me, Brother Jay. All of them, I could say for that matter. I know the hearts of the children of God. And it's so reassuring to be able to know that even in difficult times that, you know, we have brothers and sisters to be able to lift us up and to help us out through those challenges. So one of the things I told myself is not to be discouraged. You know, it's very easy to get discouraged when things don't go your way. I'd have to say that, you know, my life was pretty steadfast and straightforward. I knew what was going on. I know what I'm dealing with at work. I know what I like to do on Monday, Wednesdays, Saturdays, and sometimes Friday nights. It's kind of like clockwork for me. And, you know, things that change can be discouraging. But nevertheless, I believe, and the Lord has shown us, that when they change because of His will, that discouragement really shouldn't be there. It's because of us within ourselves that creates that discouragement, which I think comes from, you know, Satan trying to tell us that, hey, you really don't need to do that. Hey, you know, these things are so much better to do, so much funner to do, so much, much more what you enjoy. And I found it interesting that really you find joy and you find things interesting in the Lord when you actually go and do them. And you find yourself in that position. It's something that completely strips away that discouragement. Don't get me wrong, it still is there, but at times, but those things are overcome. And it's overcome through prayer and through trust, through faith, and through focus. And so, there we go. We have a song, Never Be Discouraged If Along Our Way, Disappointment Mean Us, Tempting Us to Stray, Closely Cling to Jesus, Ask Him for His Grace, In His Words of Comfort, Find a Resting Place. You know, when it goes on to say those things, we sing about those things, we praise the Lord about these things, because we know that life is like that. Life has those things for us, and life is going to be throwing those things at us all the time. But nevertheless, make sure that you understand that God is there. Cling to Jesus, you know, ask Him for His grace, and He'll bless us with that. You know, all the trials, all the things that we can see and understand, there's answers to them. And that's through prayer and through drawing ourselves closer to God. And so there is a light at the end of the tunnel. This is one of the pictures. I really like this picture I used in the slide. I think this was in 2016. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, you know. And a lot of times when we're in those dark places that we don't think that there's an ending to, there's always an ending to it. I think that, you know, God has really given us opportunities in our life to know that through Him we can overcome all things and accomplish all things. And that light there is the light of Christ. That is something that we need to be looking forward to. You know, it might be off in the distance at times, but nevertheless, if we keep pushing forward, stay on the right track, keep going in that direction and having our focus on that God will take us there. Okay, so burdens. You know, I already kind of touched bases on this. You know, do we share one another's burdens? Is this something that we're doing and applying in our spiritual walk? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And, you know, many of us do have those burdens. Many of us have struggles that we're dealing with, but nevertheless, you know, if we're in any situation, to be able to take the time to reach out, as in this picture is showing, that's why I wanted this picture, reach out and help somebody, that's our calling. That's what the Lord calls us to do. You'll probably be seeing me reaching out to many of you here in the year to come. I don't want anyone to feel, you know, like the pastor is just coming here to talk to me because he's got an issue. No, it's because I have a new responsibility. I have to change in myself some of those things that was not my responsibility. It's kind of like I call it switching gears. You know, now I'm leading that within this local to be an example of that. And I just want everyone to know that if you do have a burden and then you do need to share it, feel free to give me a call, shoot me a text. You know, I am making myself available to each and every one of you. That's what the Lord's will is. And I want to wholeheartedly be humble in that and serve in that manner, that fashion. So, you know, if you need prayers or anything like that, feel free to let myself, the assistant pastors know. We're here to serve. And we're going to be serving the Lord this year and all of our lives. Not just this year, but all our lives. Okay, so Book of Mosiah, chapter 9, verse 39. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times, and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God, and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. So, you know, these are some of those things that I was talking about earlier, the Lord's expectations. You know, as baptized members in the Church of Christ, you know, there are expectations of us. And I think really importantly is one of the things I didn't touch on is to be those witnesses of God at all times. A lot of times we can be in groups of people with peer pressure and not feel that it's the coolest thing to do to be as God called us to be that peculiar people. But nevertheless, it is important for us to stand as a witness of God of all times. And I think that is important that we know and have that knowledge of, you know, what does the gospel give us? You know, how can I stand? Do I need a crutch? Well, we know that if we are studying our scriptures, we know that if we're prayerful in our lives, that the Lord gives us those strength that we need, and to, you know, not be ashamed of the gospel and to be able to glorify God at all times. And there's those rewards that come with that. And the biggest reward is that eternal life. That eternal life that God promises to his children. You know, and he's not going to change that promise. But again, I have to change. We have to change continuously. We have to be able to understand what it is that the Lord's expectations are. And I can't say it enough, but read your scriptures. And I found, I did a new thing. I actually downloaded an app for the King James Bible, and I found it interesting because, boy, I've already read through Genesis all the way to Judges now. I'm in Judges. I didn't technically read it, but I listened to it on the way to and from work. And, you know, before I was listening to the radio, catching the daily garbage that they put out there, you know, laughing from time to time for some of the jokes that they make, and then you go to the news and listen to that and shuffle through everything because I got a 20-mile drive to the airport. But how much more relaxing have I found it now that I am actually listening to the history, basically, at this point, of the children of Israel, the people of God, and to have a better understanding of that. And to know that, you know, one of the things I think about, boy, this day and age in which we live in, we are surely blessed. Because, boy, I would not want to have to wander through a desert for 40 years eating manna. That's difficult. And those people had it tough. And there was a purpose behind that. And I think that, you know, the life challenges that we have, there's a purpose behind it as well. And, you know, the Lord will show us what our purpose is as long as we're willing to give our hearts over to Him. And so some of the other things we're going to be dealing with is temptations, you know, through life. We're going to be dealing with those temptations. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, and I'm going to read verses 12 on the next slide. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Boy, I want a lot of things. And, you know, sometimes in reality, I can't have those things. You know, there's a responsibility that I have as a father and taking care of my family. And, you know, I talk to some of the guys at work and some of the things that they have. Boy, I'd really like some of the, I'll just call them accessories for my rifle. But, you know, nevertheless, those things cost money. And I have more important things to do with those funds that I have, and that's to support my family, to make sure that everything's in place. And, you know, I would say that those are some of my temptations, you know. A lot of people have other temptations in their life. It's just difficult, but we know that when we overcome those things, that there's a joy in that, because that's where we build that mental strength to be able to put those things aside and to stay focused on God. And so it says in verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And so we need to be very cautious about those steps in which we take. You know, at times in life, you know, really, we'll all go through some very big decisions, some really difficult temptations. Just think about the steps in which you're taking and the path that you're going on. Make sure that the Lord is in your life and giving you the guidance and direction you'll need. Sometimes it'll be like walking on a tightrope. You know, it can be very, very tricky, and the fall can have severe consequences. And a lot of times some people, when they do fall, unfortunately, they don't come back. And that is the last thing that we want to see in the Church of Christ, for the body, for the children of God, is something like that to happen. So, you know, think about that in your families, how you can apply those things in which you've been taught, what you've learned, how you can be an example, how you can practice and exercise your patience, how you can share something that was tempting to you, and to be able to praise God and to be a witness of how He worked in your life to where you walked away from that. Okay? So, Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." You know, I a lot of times think about this, and I relate it to something mechanical in my life. I worked on a lot of vehicles and a lot of cars, and, you know, you always get the opportunity in many situations to perform a repair. And there always comes that time when you do a major mechanical repair on an engine to where you have to start the engine. And boy, there's that little tiny bit of insecurity deep down inside of you. You're like, man, I really hope nothing is wrong. And, you know, you start up the car and it's running smooth and everything is perfect. And that's a very good feeling. And I guess what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to fix within ourselves to get these things running right. And if we don't look and make those adjustments, make that fine tuning, you know, things could really go wrong quick. So please think about that and get those things taken care of within yourself and in your life, within your families, with your brothers and sisters. You know, think about those things, and it's a little bit of food for thought. I think that's it. That is it. So I'd like to thank each and every one of you again for this opportunity to be able to serve and to stay focused and to do all things that are to glorify God and to be a witness for Him at all times, in every day, in every aspect of our lives. So I appreciate your thoughts and your prayers for your guidance and direction, and for each and every one of you that the Lord has put in my life. So may God bless, and all those that are live streaming, thank you for tuning in.